2. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. I am not the pastor of Heritage Baptist Church. I'm the stand-in. Today, Pastor hurt his leg whenever he wasn't strong enough to hold a refrigerator. He made certain of that in breakfast yesterday, didn't he? Ain't that what y'all heard? And he dropped a refrigerator on his leg, and so he is not able to stand for a long period of time. And so pray for him if you would. And we're glad you're here today. We're glad the Lord's here today. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. We'll talk about the subject of the great escape. The great escape. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1 says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." And he says, kind of let them go wayside. He says, "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward." And verse 3 says, "How shall we escape if we neglect?" I like that it says not just a salvation, but so great a salvation. And we'll explain why it's great here in a little bit. It says, "Which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him." So after we pray this morning, we'll talk about the subject of the great escape. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Thank You for this day. Thank You for Your blessings, God. I need Your help, Your power. Lord, I need just an unction from on high today. Father, I pray for someone here today that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I pray that today would be the day of salvation, that they would be able to escape Your wrath through Jesus Christ. Father, there's an invitation going out already, Lord, through the songs that Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And so, Father, we pray that as we go through this service, the invitation would continue and that hearts would be drawn to the cross and to our loving Savior who is willing to save any that call upon His name. Now, God, we give You praise, we give You glory, we give You the preeminence of this service. We ask everything to be done in Your name for Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The great escape. And so look back, if you will, in verse 1 of chapter 2. Verse 1 of chapter 2. The Bible says, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed." Now, what does that mean? What does "therefore" mean? Well, you know, if you've been in this church any length of time, "therefore" means to look back and see why it's therefore. And so, I'll go through these very quickly, but if you go to verse 2 of chapter 1, it shows us that Jesus Christ is the Son of creation, that He is the God of creation, that there was nothing that was made that was not made by the hand of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In verse 3, we see that He's the Son of power. He has all power. He's seated at the right hand of God on high, and that represents that hand of power. Well, also in verse 4 of chapter 1, we see that He's the Son of inheritance, that all things have been gifted to Him and given to Him freely. And when somebody puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we become heirs of that and joint heirs with Christ. Then we see in verses 8 and 9, I like this one. You can just write these down. But the Bible says that He's the Son of righteousness. There's nothing else in Jesus other than righteousness. He is righteous altogether. And matter of fact, the Song of Solomon says He's lovely altogether. He is perfect in every way. And then you go on down the rest of that chapter all the way to verse 14. Basically, it talks about He's the Son of eternity. He inhabits eternity. That's who Jesus Christ is. And then He goes into verse 1 and says, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed." We ought to take heed to those things that we've heard. But then He gets down to verse 3. By the way, I don't know how long this sermon's going to last, but we're going to enjoy it while it does. All right? If you'll do that, we'll all enjoy it together. Amen. Then you'll appreciate your pastor more next Sunday. Amen. I always tell people that. You want to have me in to preach a message? Hallelujah. I'll do it for you. And the people will be begging for you the next week. And so that's why I'm here. Ta-da. But notice what it says in verse 3, if you will. The Bible says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" By the way, I'm pretty good at neglecting things. And my wife said, amen. I neglected the children's choir singing this morning. I'm very thankful for Brandon Cook who came in here and said, "Did you forget the children's choir?" I said, "No, I'm just fixing to do that," right? I neglected to put it on the schedule this morning. There's things that we neglect in our lives, but the Bible says there's one thing that you shouldn't neglect. And that you should not neglect the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Why is that? Well, because He's the Son of creation. Because He's the Son of power. Because He's the Son of inheritance. Because He's the Son of righteousness. Because He's the Son of eternity. And because He's the Son of God. And He inhabits our forgiveness through His blood. Don't neglect the salvation. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. By the way, you can hang around whatever crowd you want to. You're going to hear 12 different ways to get to heaven. I don't know about you, but I like looking at the Bible and see what the Bible says the way to heaven is, because the Bible got it right, because it was written by a holy God and not by sinful man. And the Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus Christ. That's what my Bible says. And so Jesus is the way of salvation. Why is that salvation so great? Because of the so great a price that was given. Jesus gave His life for you. Me and my family this Friday, kids were out of school. And so we try to find something that we all can do as a family. It's very few in between what we can do. And so this week we went to one of those escape rooms. Hallelujah. And we went there and we didn't know what to expect. We walked up to the thing and I've never been to one of those. And they said, the guy greeted me. He says, I want to let you know I'm glad you brought your family. Because he said, I believe this is family entertainment. And he said, by the way, I go to a Temple Baptist church. I know where Temple Baptist Church is in Flower Mound. And that's Brother Richard Wallace's church. That's an independent Baptist church. He says, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. Nothing you'll find here will be offensive to your family, blah, 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 blah. I was like, hallelujah, we're in the right place. We're in Louisville. And so anyway, you have to go into this one room. And when you go into the first room, you have to figure out how to get out of there. Now, to most of us, that's nighttime going to the restroom. Sometimes that's our great escape, right? Now, which way did I come in, or which way did I get out of here? You ever gone to a hotel and just a little different place, and you know, and you end up in a closet or in, you know, outside somewhere? You're going, this ain't right. But we were in this room, and we had to get into another room, and to get into that room, you had to get the code to get into the other room, and we saved y'all's lives, and y'all didn't even know it, because it was a nuclear attack on America, and the Wiggins family saved y'all. Y'all didn't even know that. It was real in our mind. The thing was ticking, so it was real. But we had to find the clues, and we had to make sure we had the codes right, and we had to go through this room and find the escape route and find the escape code to shut the nuclear bomb off. Yep, there's only 30-something percent of the people that get out of that room. Guess what the Wiggins family did? We won. Because that's the way we roll. Right? We're awesome. We may have cheated a little bit. Thanks to Shelby. The guy said, how did y'all get that? I was like, Shelby just opened the drawer. He's like, that drawer's not supposed to open. I was like, well, it did. And he said, well, if it works, hallelujah. And maybe that wasn't his term, hallelujah, but I added that in for effect. And so we had to go through there, and you had to find everything. The clock was ticking. They had this big old clock up there on the wall that was counting down. And of course, you know, it was, you know, there wasn't the dramatic music playing, but in my mind there was, you know. I was like, wow, we got to hurry. I got a little frantic. I was like, y'all hurry up. This ain't real, but it is real. We finished the course with 6 minutes. Brody can tell you the exact time. 6 minutes and 58 seconds left on the clock. Clock stopped. We defused the bomb. Basically, my kids did. I figured out like one thing in there, and I was just like, me and Bailey was over there going, yeah, I'm hungry. But that door opened, or that bomb went off, and the door opened was like, hallelujah, we escaped with our lives. But can I tell you, I know that's kind of funny, but there's an eternal clock that's ticking. And it's not ticking forward, it's ticking backwards. And I believe as just if we were sitting at NASA headquarters today, and we were listening to the 10, 9. I believe we hear that coming from heaven. I believe time is ticking down. And can I tell you that Jesus said, or the Bible said, that there is one escape route. There is one exit into eternity. And by the way, all of us are born into sin. The Bible said, for all of sin to come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And so we're all born into the room where the clock is ticking backwards. And if we don't get out in time, hell will be our home, and eternity will be a place of an abyss, of a lake of fire. And I'm telling you here this morning is that Jesus came to give you a way out. You say, how do I get out? Well, you get out by getting in. I like that. If you want to get out of the weather outside, you got to get in something. And I'm telling you what, Jesus Christ made the way. Through His blood and through His life. Jesus is the way away from the wrath of God today. You say, what am I escaping from? I'm escaping from the wrath of God. I'm escaping from damnation, eternal damnation. I'm escaping in a lake of fire. I'm escaping my sin. When I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, I'm getting out from underneath the wrath of God, and I'm getting into the grace of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. There's an example in the Scripture here that I believe we'll find in a very familiar story. Of course, if you study the book of Hebrews refers to the Old Testament many times. And really, they say that Hebrews is the Old Testament commentary in the New Testament. And to understand the book of Hebrews, really, you need to have an understanding of the Old Testament. And I think the book of Hebrews, if you study it out, a lot of times, a lot of the content in there is talking about the children of Israel. Talking about the Israelites when they were delivered out of Egypt and brought across the desert and delivered into the promised land. And so we kind of find our story here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. I want you to look there with me if you will. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 25. The Bible says, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." Now he's going to explain the Old Testament. This is Mount Sinai. Verse 26 says, "Whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, is signifying the removing of those things which are shaken, as of those things that are made with hand." Basically, he's saying those things that are temporal one day are going to be done away with, and those things that are eternal will be set up. And he says at one time that Jesus shook the earth on Mount Sinai. I remember when he gave the Ten Commandments, and it shook the earth, and it shook the heavens. And what happened is that he gave command to the people of God. And he said, this is the way. But can I remind you is that if you know the story of the children of Israel, they didn't obey. They disobeyed God. Matter of fact, go back to, I'll give you these real quick. Hebrews chapter 3, kind of stay in the book of Hebrews for a moment. But Hebrews chapter 3, I want you to notice what the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 3, look at verse 11, 3:11. Notice what he says here. He says that in verse 11, he says, "So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest." Okay, "take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you of an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." So, in other words, is that their unbelief separated them from God in the wilderness. Now, there's another one over in chapter 4, verse 6. Chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says, if you'll just turn over there, but he says, "Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of what? Of unbelief." They could not enter into that place of rest because of their unbelief. And can I remind you, there's a place today, and I know that's a picture of the will of God. That is the picture where God wants them. But can I remind you, a lot of the children of Israel died in the wilderness because of their disbelief. There's going to be a lot of people in this world that are going to die because of their unbelief. And they're going to die in eternal death. Not about you, but I don't want to die in eternal death. When I live unto Christ. I live through Christ who gave His life for me. Jesus is the way out. Jesus is our door, our exit door to our life. And when we, matter of fact, turn over to John. I can't skip this one. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, real quick. John chapter 10. Sorry we're using our Bible so much this morning in church. John chapter 10. And look at verse 7, if you will. This is the words of Jesus here. Of course, all the Bible's words of Jesus, but these are specific words that He spake, that the Holy Spirit wrote down. Now notice what it says. John chapter, you know this chapter very well. John chapter 10, verse 7 says, "Then said Jesus unto them," okay, now notice what He's saying. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have" what? "Life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Verse 11 says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Jesus is telling us there is that there's one door that'll get you out of this mess. Well, Adam got you into it, and Jesus will get you out of it. When you were born in this world, you were born a sinner. You were born with condemnation upon your life. John chapter 3 tells us that we were born into condemnation. We were born into being wrong and on the wrong path. And Jesus had to come to save us from that wrath of God and save us from that path that we were on. And let me remind you, as I remind myself also, that Jesus said, "I am the door." He said, I'm the door. If any man come in, he's going to come in by that door. You say, "Well, preacher, I don't believe that. I believe there's many ways to heaven." Well, let me just ask you this question. What if you're wrong and I'm right? What if I'm wrong and what if you're right? What if we've lost? Know about you, but I can tell you, you're wrong, or they're wrong, and God's right. And I had a man tell me that one time. I believe there's many ways to get to heaven. I said, "Well, number one, you don't believe the Bible, because the Bible doesn't believe that way." And then I asked the question. I said, "Well, what if you're wrong?" They're like, "Well, I guess I'd be in trouble." Yeah, you're going to be in trouble. I don't want to take the chance of thinking that I'm going to make it to heaven on my good works and on my baptism, on my church membership, and on my family's name. I know that won't get me there. Why? Because the Scripture is very specific that no man can enter in unless they know Jesus Christ their Savior. You got to know that you know that you know. Jesus is the only way. We see that back in our text in Hebrews chapter 2. He said, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" This salvation is great because of who gives it. This salvation is so great because of who it is. Jesus is salvation. There is no other outside of Jesus Christ that can give salvation. People today, the reason that they will enter into an eternal damnation, the reason that people will enter into an eternal hell is because of disobedience. Disobedience to the Holy Spirit, rejecting the Holy Spirit's pulling and wooing in your life. Disbelief in God's Word and dismissing God's Son. Don't dismiss Him this morning. Jesus is tenderly calling. By the way, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're missing out. You're missing out on one of the greatest things that could ever happen to you. One of the things that holds us back from trusting Christ as our Savior is pride, sin in our life. I know as a young person, a lot of times the reason young people don't want to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior is because they think they got to give up all their fun. I do it, preacher, but I'm just having too much fun right now. No. Don't think you are. You may be happy, but deep down in your heart, you have no joy because you don't have Jesus. The Bible is very specific in returning to me the joy of thy salvation. That's where joy comes from. Joy comes from the salvation of Jesus Christ. Put away your pride. Put away all of those things that you think you're going to have to give up. I gave up a lot of things, and I gained a whole lot of things. When I trusted Jesus Christ, by the way, I didn't have a problem laying a lot of things behind. Amen. All things become new. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new in our life. Notice what he says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" There's people today, if we could go back to what our family did this week, go to that escape room, there's people in that room that don't care about the clues that God has put in your life. Because you're not wanting to get out. But I want to tell you, that clock is ticking down in your room, and whether you're ready or not, that clock one day is going to go off, and the trumpet's going to sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. And then the rest of us, the rest of the people that didn't trust Jesus Christ are going to be left here on earth to face 7 years of tribulation period, in which they cannot get saved during that time if they've heard a clear gospel presentation. You say, well, I'll wait till the tribulation to get out of this. The Bible's very specific. You can't. The Bible says that during the tribulation period is that they'll believe a lie. In other words, they're going to be disillusioned. They're going to be disoriented during the time of the tribulation. And if you can't get saved during the day of grace, what makes you think you can get saved during the day of tribulation? It's not going to happen. Now those that have never heard a clear gospel presentation, they're going to be given opportunity. There's going to be 144,000 witnesses that's going to go out and evangelists that are going to evangelize this world during that time. But you're not going to hear. Your ears are going to be clogged because the Bible says that you're going to be blinded during that time. People are going to be so distraught during that time. The Scripture's very, if you read Revelation, it says that they're going to try to commit suicide and they can't. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm saved today. You say, well, preacher, I don't know about that. Well, let me ask you something again. You say, I believe you can get saved during the tribulation period. Well, let me ask you something. What if you're wrong? There's a bunch of what if you're wrong today. Because I believe the Bible's right. Now, I want to be a help to the Christians real quick. 1 Corinthians. Here we go, turning in our Bibles again. Oh, never going to ask him to preach again. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Christians, I want to be a help to you today because there's a way of escape for you too. There's a great escape for the believers in Jesus Christ. This one's hard to take, but I promise you that if you rest upon this promise in here, God will. Now, notice what it says, verse 13. We'll just jump right into it. It says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Amen. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way, to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now, let me correct some wrong philosophy in this scripture. There's a lot of people that say, well, God's never going to give us more than we can handle. That's a true statement to a certain degree. But here's the degree. You got to take the exit that He gives to you, or else it will crush you. You see what I'm saying? In other words, God's not going to allow anything in your life. I realize that. God's not out to destroy you, but God just said that with all temptation, He'll give you a way of escape. If you choose not to escape, guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to fall. And you can't blame God, say, well, God, you said there that you'd not put more on me than I can bear. And listen to me. I realize that mindset, but go back to the verse. Notice what the Bible says. There's no such temptation has taken you, but such is common to man. It's the common things that happen to us. He said, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. But, here it is, will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. If you take the way of escape, you're going to be able to bear this. But too many people stay in the room with the temptation, and the temptation takes over their life, and it destroys their life. It destroys their family. It destroys their church. It destroys our nation. When you come into this building, there's two exits, mainly. Three exits. If you're up here on stage, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hallelujah. And if those don't work, I'll make you one. But when you come into this building, there's exit signs there, there, and there. In other words, when service is over, you're not just going to be, well, some of y'all will, but just be wandering around, I don't know where to go. Obviously, when this church service is over, you're hungry, and you're tired of hearing me speak like I am, and you're going to be pew, pew, and some of you cheaters are going to go pew. Because why? You know how to get out of here, right? There's exits to get out of here. If this place catches on fire, we know how to get out of here. We're going to take that way. I feel like a stewardess on an airplane. You take this exit right here, and flotation devices under your seat. Make sure you buckle your seatbelt. Oxygen mask will come down in case the plane hits. You know? But there's exits. We know how to get out of here. But the problem is in life is that as a believer, sometimes we choose to not use those exits. And when we choose not to choose those exits, take those exits, the temptation takes over us. And we fail and we fall, and God is there to pick us up, and He's faithful. I understand that. But if you choose not to take the exit, that temptation will take over your life. Man, if you're at the computer and something flashes across there, get rid of that off there. But whenever you don't click to exit it. Hello? Man, getting a little personal now, huh? Guess what's going to happen? You're going to look at that and you're going to stay on that. Hey, listen. If you're addicted to alcohol or drugs, you don't go down to where they are and you stay around there. You better get out of there. There's been times in my life where Joseph is a great example of the great escape, isn't he? I mean, Potiphar's wife comes in and tries to seduce him, and he's like, "I'm out of here." He leaves his clothes behind. He gone. I mean. He said, "There's an exit." I don't know if he may have made an exit, but he got out of there. He didn't stay around to be seduced by this woman. He got out of there. And there's been times in my life where I've been put in situations. I'm like, "I got to get out of here. This is not right. This is not a right place." But I want to tell you that a lot of us don't take that exit. We stay. We linger. When you look at the story of Ruth and Naomi, the Bible says that they went into Moab and that they were just sojourning. But then the Bible goes on down and says they dwelt in Moab. Well, through events of a lot of deaths going on. Sons die, a dad dies. That's what happens when you stay too long in one spot. There's another story in the Bible, a man named Lot. Lot went down to Sodom and Gomorrah and went into the city there, and then you read the story and you realize that his daughter stayed there, they married, that they were there a long time. They were there a little while, whenever they should have got out of there. And Lot lost a lot that day, didn't he? When his wife turned around and became a pillar and died. Fathers, moms, sons, daughters, whoever you are today, take that exit. God's given you an opportunity to get out of that temptation you're in. And you must choose, as our scripture says, you must choose to get out of this temptation. Take the exit sign. Believers, we must say, "No, I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to get out of this temptation. I'm going to run from this." If a dog comes to you and he's trying to tear your leg off, get out of there. Don't try to pet him. I know y'all won't believe this, but many, many years ago, I was an animal control officer. Hallelujah. I was pastoring and had to have a job, and that job came open. I said, "I'll take it. I hate dogs with a passion. Scared of them." And that's all I was going to do, was remove dogs from this city. And the first dog I had to go to, it was the problem dog of the city. It was a chow dog. Well, I just went through some schooling, and the number one thing they say, the number one dog you don't want to mess with is a chow. They said they have no warning signs, is that they're very aggressive. I was like, "Got it." Marked that down in my head, and then the mayor comes to me and says, "Michael, I need you to go over here to such and such address, and I need you to get this dog." I was like, "Got it." I had a patrol car, a police patrol car with a cage in the back that I was supposed to put dogs in. This is a poor town. So I'm in a patrol car. Had lights and siren, though. It was awesome. There was a lot of dogs that ran from me. I got to chase them down. And so I got to this house, and the dog was inside one of the ladies' garage there. And I saw the dog, and it looked like just a black mat laying there. And I was like, "Well, here we go." So I walked up there with my catch pole, and I was like, just to see if he'd pop his head up. When he did, I was like, "Uh-oh, chow dog." What went through my head was escape. I hopped back in my patrol car, and I backed out and I prayed about it for a while. I was like, "I'm not going to get bit." I'd have to tell you the whole story, but I pulled my patrol car up to the lady's garage, and I pinned the dog in there, and I reached through the window of the patrol car. I'm not lying. And I can't tell you what all else happened after that, but I got the dog. And he was asleep in my back seat for a little while. When I got him to the pound, he woke up, and he was all happy with me. He was not happy with me. But you know what? I realized that dog was a threat to me pretty quick. I realized I was not, there was a lot of dogs in town. Matter of fact, most of them that I caught from there on, I could call, open the door, and they'd hop in there. I was like, hallelujah. I had treats. I didn't see a threat. But when I saw this dog, my first thing went, He didn't growl at me. He stood up and we were like this. And I was like, I realized he's a threat. I realized that I needed to get out of that situation right then and regroup, right? Sometimes in life, we see those threats. We see those temptations coming. We see those things that are there to harm us and to hurt us and to hinder us in our Christian life. And what do we want to do? Come here. And then you look down, you ain't got a hand no more. Right? Yeah. Well, I knew very well I didn't want to pet that dog because I saw that it was a threat to me. By the way, there's a lot of times in our life that whenever we are faced with these temptations, when we're faced with these trials, we play with them too much. And they end up destroying us. Christian, this morning, if you're here and you're facing a temptation, and by the way, we all do, such as common to man. Those are common temptations that we face. Those things that when we walk out this door, we're going to be tempted with things. There's things that you're tempted with in church. There's things that you're tempted with in your home. There's things that you're tempted with at your job. And Jesus said that He will make a way of escape because He loves you so much. He's standing at the exit door and going, hey, this way, take this. And you have to be disobedient to keep doing what you're doing. You have to disobey the one who is calling you out of it. But if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Can I tell you the great escape is trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior? And I don't know about you, but I don't want that clock to tick down and me go, well, maybe I'll make it or maybe I won't. No, 1 John chapter 5 tells us very clear that you may know that you have eternal life. You want to know that today? Somebody will take the Bible. That's what we use here at our church. We use the Bible to show somebody through it how you can be saved this morning. How you can know for sure that you have eternal life. Whatever your need is today, Jesus can meet it. If there's a salvation need, He can meet it. If there's a need that maybe your home, maybe your wife, maybe your husband, maybe they need some prayer. Whatever it is, Christ can meet that need this morning. Jesus is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ your Savior. We can show you. You can trust Jesus Christ your Savior, and you can know and get out from underneath the wrath of God. Because I'm telling you, when Noah built the ark, all the other people around him, all they had to do was get on board. The exit was to get in. It's the same way today. You want to exit God's wrath? You got to get in Christ. You got to get in the ark. That's where the safety is. That's where salvation is. There's no salvation in any other. It's only in Jesus Christ. Let's stand this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Real quick, as musicians come, heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're here this morning, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or anything. But if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior. Here in just a moment when we begin to sing, would you just step out of your pew and come down and just look at me and I'll know what you're asking today, and we'll take somebody from the front here and show you through the Word of God how to be saved. If you're here this morning, you're a Christian, maybe you just need to come and pray and say, God, I need to get out of this. Or, Lord, I need strength to get out. Lord, whatever I face tomorrow, make sure I see that exit sign. And God will be faithful to do that. God will be faithful to help you in that area. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy to us. And Father, we ask that You bless this morning as we have this time of invitation. If there's a soul here that does not know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. I pray for that Christian, Lord, today that's facing a temptation, that's facing a trial. And Father, that they need to see that exit sign. God, maybe Satan's covering it up. Maybe he's making it look like something else. But Lord, show them the way of escape. You said You're faithful in that and that You will help them out and give them that way of escape. Lord, help us today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As you turn your hymn books...